I want you to turn in your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 13, if you don't mind. Leviticus chapter 13. See, everything in the Bible has one message. Just one message. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Our Lord said, you are searching the scriptures. And in them you think you have eternal life because you search the scriptures. You exegete the scriptures. You parse the verbs and the nouns and the predicates. And you watch over the jot and tittle of the law. And you are stewards of the history of scripture. And you learned in textual criticism and historical analysis of the text. But they are they which testify of me. But you won't come to me that you might have life. So when we read the Bible, if the author of the book is operating, we're going to see the author of the book in the Bible. And the title of our message today is The Leper's Cleansing, a type of baptism. The Leper's Cleansing, a type of baptism. And today we're going to be observing the Lord's table. And those of you who are true believers in Christ, you know the Lord Jesus, you are welcome to observe the table with us. Our table is not closed except to people who are not true believers. To all the saints in Christ, the table is yours. God gave it to us to fellowship, to strengthen our heart in what Christ accomplished for us. So you're welcome to partake of the table with us. But most importantly, we are going to be witnessing the confession of faith through baptism on the part of several of our new family members today. And I was thinking about this as we prepare to have what has been for us over the last 2.5-3 years, a relatively frequent occasion to be able to baptize people every 3 or 4 months is special to me. And it's not because we are going through a ceremony or a rite or a ritual by which we can say, look at us. Look at the numbers we're compiling to ourselves. Look at all the people we're bringing into Grace Bible Church. That's not the issue. That's not the issue. But I do want you to know where my joy lies. It lies in the fact that we know that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. We know that. I do. And I rejoice in the gospel. Because the gospel, listen to me now, is a sinner's gospel. A sinner's gospel. And it's only for sinners. Now, what we are looking at in Leviticus chapter 13 and 14 has to do with one of the ceremonial laws that pertain to purity rites and cleansing rites and cleanness rites. These were fastidious rules that God had given to the children of Israel once he set them up as a royal priesthood to make sure that they were clean and proper in their protocol, in their relationship to him. And he's dealing with right here a particular problem that existed in the culture of Israel in that day, and that was leprosy. He's really dealing with the issue of disease. If you listen to the text carefully in 13 verses 1 through 14, you see that this priest was carefully examining this leper. And if you listen carefully to the examination, there were things that he saw that caused him to draw conclusions. And there were only two conclusions he could draw. Listen to me. Clean or unclean. But in order to make those conclusions, he had to have discernment. He had to be able to discriminate. He had to be able to determine whether or not that person was clean or unclean based on skills that had to do with what they call in the medical field dermatology. And in this case, epidermatology. And the issue of leprosy, whether you know it or not, is the issue of disease. And the Bible speaks of sin as a disease. Is that true? All through the scriptures. If you're here in the Sunday school, you would have learned that. Our elder was dealing with that, going through the Gospel of John. If you don't know, the Gospel of John teaches concerning the Godhood of Jesus Christ. But it uses a metaphor all the way through the Gospel of John, and that's water, 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 water. From John 3 all the way through the end of the book, John 19. It starts off in John 3, except you be born of the water and of the Spirit, you shall not see the kingdom, and you will not enter in. And in John 19, verse 34, that centurion soldier pierced the side of our crucified Savior, and out came blood and water. So the Lord Jesus Christ is dealing with cleansing and purification. And as I said, leprosy is one of those diseases that signifies sin in several ways, and we want to see how that works today. Now, in that culture, this was 1,500 years before Christ, 3,500 years to our date. In that culture, leprosy was a problem. It was found in the Mediterranean culture. It was found in the regions of Mesopotamia, Ethiopia, Egypt, and Asia. In other words, right where those folks are acting a fool right now, that's where leprosy was. 3,000 years ago. 3,000 years ago, that's where it was. And so God, saving the people for himself, setting them apart in order to relate to them, he would teach them through these physical diseases, spiritual reality. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. The spiritual reality through the physical disease of leprosy. And if you have your outline, the first point that I want to underscore, you don't have this part of the outline, I'm sorry. This is in Leviticus 13, but if you have your Bibles, follow me. Here's my first point. Mark this now, and you can get the CD after the message. Listen to it 10 times. God will speak to you. The first point that I want to underscore is that a revelation and confession of sin is necessary to cleansing. A revelation and confession of sin, singular, is necessary to cleansing. If you have your Bibles, look at what it says in verses 1 and 2. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, when a man shall have in the skin of his flesh a rising or a scab or a bright spot. Now, that's a man or a woman. It's a generic man. And it be in the skin. Do you see that? Of his flesh. Like the plague of leprosy, then he shall be brought unto Aaron the priest, or unto one of the sons of the priest, or one of his sons, the priest, and the priest shall look on the plague. Do you see that? Mark that for a moment. The priest shall look on the plague. This is important because the observation is on the part of the priest. It's not on the part of the person with the plague. It's on the part of the priest. And what he's looking at right now is the plague. The plague. In a moment, all you're going to see the scripture saying is the priest shall look on him. Shall look on him. So just hold on now. And notice what it says. He shall look at the plague and see if it be turned white, and the plague in sight, if it's deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is a plague of leprosy. Do you see that? And the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean. First thing I want you to understand is what the priest must look for is the plague of leprosy going deeper than the skin of his flesh. See, we talk about this all the time. Mark this down. You've never heard it before if you're new here, but this is important for you. Sin is not merely what you do, it's what you are. See, he looked on the skin and he saw that there was a blotch, a scab, a swelling, a lot of dermatological evidences. But if it wasn't deeper than the skin, then it couldn't be called leprosy. But if it was under the skin, deeper than the skin, it was called leprosy, and the man was pronounced, listen to me now, unclean. Did you get that? You know what John said in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 8? We've been dealing with this. Whosoever says he hath no sin is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Did you get that? Whosoever saith he hath no sin. Now mark me now. Sin, S-I-N. Use your outline because this is going to help you fight this battle if you're a child of God. Whosoever says he has no sin, singular, is a liar. The truth is not in him. He didn't say sins, plural. He said sin, singular. Now, what a lot of people don't know, and we're beginning to learn this here, is there is a difference between sin, singular, and sin, plural. Every one of us have sin, singular. Isn't that right? Is that true? Do I have to tell you what the scriptures say? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Isn't that right? That's Romans chapter 3, verse 23. The scripture says, for by one man sin entered into the world, death passed upon all, because all have sinned. Isn't that true? The scripture says in, again, Ecclesiastes 7:20, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and what sinneth not. But watch this now. It's important for you to make a distinction between your sin nature and your sinful deeds. You ready to learn something? Because this is important. God makes a distinction. He makes a distinction. First of all, everyone who has been taught of God, everyone who's been taught the truth of the gospel, everyone who has submitted to Christ's righteousness, who's been illuminated by the Spirit of God, has been taught this truth, that sin is not just what I do, it's what I am. It's what I am. I am sin. I know that hurts, but it's just true. That's why I said when the priest looks and he's looking on the leprosy, in a moment he will stop talking about looking at the leprosy and he'll be talking about looking at the man. And when he sees in the man, and when he sees in the man, because the leprosy and the man become one in God's sight. See, I am sin and you are sin by nature. Do you know when God punishes sin, he's not punishing deeds, he's punishing people. Is that true? Sin's not going to hell. People are going to hell. Am I helping you? Sinners are going to hell. But they're going to hell not merely because of what they do, but what they are. And if the Spirit of God doesn't teach you that first work, are you ready? John 16:8. You can mark it down. And when the Spirit of truth has come, he will convince the world of sin. S-I-N. Singular. It's the noun form. He will convince men and women that they have a sinful nature. How many of you got a sinful nature? You better know it. Now, out of this sinful nature flows sinful deeds. Now, did you notice that in the scriptures in the New Testament, it says to those who are believers who have confessed their sin singular, that they are to mortify their deeds. Mortify, therefore, your deeds. Mortify your members. Never says mortify your sin. Are you with me? Never says mortify your sin. I'm helping you. It says mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. And put away the deeds of sin, because you can't put away your sin nature. Nothing you and I can do can put away our sin nature. If you're a child of God today, let me help you understand something. When Christ died on the cross 2,000 years ago, what he nailed on that cross was my sin nature. Adam was nailed on that cross. My sin nature was nailed on that cross. And when God brought that to me by the power of the Spirit through the gospel, he broke me free from Adamic control so that now I can deal with the deeds with him having already dealt with my nature. Is that good? So when you talk to people about, you know, you got to put that sin away. You got to put that sin away. Watch this now. Are you the Savior? Am I helping you? Christ put my sin away by the sacrifice of himself on Calvary's tree. One time hath he by himself purged our sin. I like this, though. Go with me to Psalm chapter 32. I want you to see this for yourself. We'll get back here because I want us to understand what we're dealing with when we talk about the cleansing of the leper. Psalm 32. I want you to see how David understood precisely what I'm talking about. Psalm 32, verse 5. Now, this is one of David's penitential psalms after having gotten into a lot of trouble. And I want you to notice the terminology, particularly if you have a King James Version Bible. If you have other translations, I hope they were faithful to this translation and you'll see it in the text. I'm going to start at verse 5. Now, here is what every godly child of God every true believer does when God reveals to him his transgression and sin. This is what we do every day. You ready? Look at verse 5. I acknowledge my sin. Is that true? I acknowledge my sin. There are a lot of religious folk, Christian folk, who say that they don't sin anymore after they come to Christ. That's a problem. I've said this before. That's a problem. You know why? Because Jesus is in heaven as a great mediator on the behalf of sinners. And if there are no sinners, he's up there pleading for nothing. And he's my high priest. Did you get that? He's my high priest. Whoever lives to make intercession to us who come to God by him. You understand what I'm getting at? But now notice what David said in verse 5. I acknowledge my sin unto you. Singular. And mine iniquity have I not hid. That's an honest believer. I said, I will confess my transgressions, plural, unto the Lord. And you forgave, watch this now, the iniquity of my sin. Do you see it? Do you see it? Look at verse 6. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when you may be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh you. Isn't that good? That's exactly what I'm trying to get across to you. David was a child of God. David was a believer. If you read verse 1, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord will not impute iniquity, in whose spirit there's no guile. He's not lying to God. His spirit is right. He's not lying to God. You know why? Because he has an advocate, a mediator. He has a high priest. He has a paraclete. He has a sin bearer. He can come real with God now. Someone has put away his sin nature, and he's promised eternal life. So all he has to do now is fight the battle against the deeds through the power of the Spirit. So we can be real now. The first work of the Spirit, then, is to convince the world of sin. Go back with me to Leviticus chapter 13, because I want you to see how this works. Let me ask you a question as we move on in the establishing of this point. If you had the opportunity to shave the fur off of a leopard, if you had the opportunity to shave the fur off of a leopard, when you shave that fur all the way down to the skin, you've got all the hair off. And you know the distinction between a leopard and a lion, right? It's his what? His spots. And you can shave him all the way down to his skin. Guess what you would see once you shaved all that hair? His spots. You know why? Because his spots is not in his hair. It's in his skin. It's in his DNA. If you could rip back the skin and get down to the flesh, guess what you would find? Spots. Because it goes all the way into the bloodstream. It goes all the way into his DNA. That's how God made him. And that's how we're made when we're born into this world. David says, I was born and conceived in sin. And in sin did my mother produce me or shape me. In sin was I shapen. In iniquity was I shapen. And I was conceived in sin. And so the point is, by nature, that's what we are. By nature, that's what we are. I was thinking the other day about Moses. Remember, we were dealing with Moses when God called Moses to be the leader of Israel, brings him out of the land of Egypt. And there were three signs that Moses was to do to affirm the fact that God had called him. Three signs. Three signs that affirm a God-called leader. The first was God gave him a rod. Isn't that right? No, he didn't. He had a rod already. I'm messing with you. It was a shepherd's hook. Remember that? God sent him out for 40 years to help him learn how to tend the sheep. Because he'd have 1.5 million sheep he'd have to get from Egypt to the land of Canaan. Isn't that right? But God took that shepherd hook, that staff that he had, and he put power in that staff. And he gave him the ability to take that staff and swallow up the serpents of Egypt. Remember that? Because his staff would turn into a serpent too. And what that was indicating, we learned this before, is that God gave Moses the authority to deliver the people. His message was a gospel message. Let my people go. That's the message of the gospel. He shall set the captives free. And an authentic gospel ministry will set people free. That was the first sign. Second sign, if you recall, he said, now, if they don't listen to you on this first one, I got another one for you, Moses. Give me your right hand. He said, Moses, give me your right hand. Stick it in here. Are you guys looking? Stick it in here. Now watch me now. Put it right up against your heart. You know that clean, white, pure, impeccable wellspring of the soul? Is that what it is? Now watch this now. Now pluck your hand out from your heart. And you know what it was? Leprous all the way through. Remember that? Leprous all the way through. You know what God was teaching Moses? You're a sinner. Are you with me? You're a sinner. You're not only a sinner by what you do, because you killed that Egyptian. You loved your brother, but you killed. The murder was in your heart. But you're a sinner by nature. And then he said, now stick your hand back in there. Isn't that what he said? Stick your hand back in there. And he said, now pluck it out again. And that man's hand was white and clean and pure as a baby's behind. You know what he said? Salvation's of the Lord. Men and women must be born again. They must be redeemed by the power of God. This is what I'm saying. We're sinners by nature. We're sinners in our heart. We're sinners in our mind. We're sinners in our will. Everything we do is contaminated with sin. You believe that? I'm going to help you see that now. We're at 13. I want us to see the second point. Leprosy not only is in our sin nature, but it does manifest itself in our conduct. That's just true. I think that's a universal reality. I think we all know that. Isn't that so? You know, we try to subdue our sin. We try to walk holy. We try to live nice. Isn't that right? I say I'm going to be patient with my wife. 5 minutes later, I'm saying the wrong thing. And vice versa. I'm going to be kind and generous to my kids. And when the fella jumps in front of me at the grocery store, I'm still going to think good thoughts of him. And it doesn't happen. Isn't that true? See, this is called walking in the light. I'm helping you. You walk in the light. The person that walks in the light tells the truth. I'm helping you because it comes out. And that's what leprosy is about. It comes out. I wish we could subdue it, but you can't. But it has to come out. It has to come out. The man or woman that does not see his leprosy is deceived. It has to come out. A leprous person is seen by everyone to be a leper. Isn't that right? Look at our text again. This is very interesting. Leprosy must manifest itself in terms of its deeds. I'm over at verse 7 and 8. Watch this now. Let me start at verse 6. And the priest shall look on him. Notice now, he's not looking on the leprosy. He's looking on him. And again, after 7 days, behold, if the plague be somewhat dark and the plague spread not in the flesh, the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is but a scab, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean. Let me say something about that as we go on. What we are dealing with is the spiritual ministry of discernment, determining whether or not you are a true believer or still lost in your trespasses and sins. When this priest looks on the progress or our development of the skin rash, and he sees that it really is not making much progress, after having shut that person up for 7 days, he's concluded that that's simply a surface rash. It's not deep in his soul. It's not the leprosy that is part of his nature. So he's considered clean. Now, that's the position of every believer. We still deal with the deeds, the surface issues, the scabs on the top. They don't spread that much by the grace of God, but they're there. However, it doesn't constitute separation from fellowship with God. Are you following what I'm saying? And so he's called clean. But watch what he goes on to say. This is important. This is important. But if the scab spread much abroad in the skin, after that he hath been seen of the priest for his cleansing, he shall be seen of the priest again. And if the priest see that, behold, the scab spreadeth in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It's leprosy. See, it's advancing. It's advancing. Now watch this. And when the plague of leprosy is not on the man, but in the man, then he shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall see him. That's my point. He's no more looking at the plague. He's looking at him, because the him and the plague are one. And behold, if the rising be white in the skin, if it has turned white in the hair, and there be quick raw flesh in the rising. In other words, if there's an active epidermatology taking place, if there are active sores under the skin, rising and swelling and producing sores and running sores and scabs, he know that it's a live leprosy in that man. Am I helping you? You've got to see that. You've got to see that. See, because his job as the priest is to make a distinction between the clean and the unclean. That's Leviticus 10:10. And that thou shalt make difference between unholy and holy, between clean and unclean. That's what he's doing. And the unholy and holy and clean and unclean has to do with people. It has to do with whether or not we're true believers. Are we still in bondage to our sin nature? Does it rule? And this is what he's determining here. And so he looks and he sees that, man, this is an active plague. Verse 11. It is an old leprosy in the skin of his flesh, and the priest shall pronounce him unclean. Do you see that? And shall not shut him up anymore. He doesn't need to even examine him anymore. You're unclean. You're unclean. It has spread and is running rampant. And it's sores, and they're busting sores, and they're oozing sores. And this is not proper for the kingdom of God. Because in the kingdom of God, God's people are washed. God's people are sanctified. God's people are justified. Is that true? That's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6. But you are washed. You are washed. We're going to get to that here in a moment. There's some seats up front here. Y'all help these folks. We're going to get to that in a moment. But here I want you to see in verse 11 and 12 something very important. Verse 12 and 13, rather. He's already said that this is an old leprosy in verse 11. He says it's an old leprosy. What he's doing is tying this leprosy to the old man. This is an old leprosy. It's the old man. It's that old nature still there. You still haven't been separated from that old leprosy. You need to be born again. You need to be saved. But then he goes on in verse 12 and 13 this way. Listen. And if a leprosy break out abroad in the skin, oh, listen, and the leprosy cover all the skin of him that hath the plague, from his head even to his feet. Now watch this now. Please watch this. Everywhere the priest looks, then the priest shall consider. That's the first time he said that. Then he shall consider. Interesting. Now watch me now. I'm going to help you. Everywhere I look, there's sin. There's sin at the top. There's sin at the bottom. There's sin in between. That man's clean. That man's clean. Isn't that what he pronounced? Look at it for yourself. If it breaks out in the skin, covers all his skin, from his head to his foot, wheresoever the priest looked, then the priest shall consider, and behold, if the leprosy have covered all his flesh, he shall pronounce him clean that hath the plague. It's all turned white. He's clean. Isn't that strange? Follow me now. This man that the priest has just pronounced clean, you better hear this. This is going to point you to the straight and narrow gate, is a real sinner. He's a complete sinner. He's a total sinner. He acknowledges his sin everywhere. Are you hearing me? He's not saying there's a part of me that's not sinful. He's not saying, well, you know, there's a part of me that's still raw flesh. I'm sinful in my deeds, but I'm not really sinful in my heart. Most of the time I do good, but every now and then I do right. I remember a time about 10 years ago where I did one good deed. Raw flesh. Raw flesh. You know, my heart was sincere. Raw flesh. You know, my will is still desirous to do God's will, raw flesh. And when I made a decision for Jesus, Jesus looked on my decision and saw that it was raw flesh. Do you hear me? The Lord knows I love him, raw flesh. Am I helping you? Raw flesh. See, because the scripture tells us in the Proverbs, every way of man is right in his own eyes. The scripture tells us that everyone proclaims his own goodness. But God says, a faithful man, now I can't find a faithful man. Do you hear me? Until you realize that from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, you are sin, God will not pronounce you clean. Is that the truth? He only saves real sinners.
Now, there's a whole bunch of folk that think they're clean, but they're not, because they've never seen their sin nature. See, the Holy Ghost has to make you a real sinner. The Holy Ghost has to teach you sin deep down in your soul. He has to teach you not only that your deeds are sinful, but your thoughts and your motives and your actions are sinful. And when he's cut the lights on you and you see yourself like God sees you, then you got hope. Do you hear me? Until then, you're going to lie to God. You're going to lie to God and say, Lord, I wasn't wrong in that. My heart wasn't wrong. My heart was right. Do you know the scripture says in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked above everything. Who can know it? That's why we learned Friday night in Psalm 19. David says, Lord, Lord, who can understand the error of his ways? Who can understand his deeds? Who can understand his actions? Keep me back from presumptuous sin. Am I helping you? Now, this man who was pronounced clean was blessed. And I'm going to show you how he was blessed. Turn with me to chapter 14. Those of you who have your outline, you can follow your outline. By the way, I want to share with you something that you probably don't know. No time ever in all of the Old Testament history, no time ever was there any leper in Israel healed. No time. No time. I want you to hear me now. You can run all through the scripture you want to. Nowhere in the culture of Israel, no time was there any leper ever healed. Now, we have a law stipulating healing. We have a law for cleansing. We're going to look at that now. But the law never was executed, because those who were lepers were always lepers, except on one occasion where God in his mercy saved a man named Naaman. You better listen to me. Naaman was a Gentile. He wasn't a Jew. Do you hear what I'm saying? Naaman was a Gentile. He wasn't a Jew. Naaman was never under the law. He wasn't a Jew. Naaman never offered sacrifices. He wasn't a Jew. Naaman never kept the Sabbath. He wasn't a Jew. Naaman never went to the temple. He wasn't a Jew. Naaman was never under the Decalogue. He wasn't a Jew. Naaman was saved by the free grace of God in Christ, told to dip in Jordan 7 times. You understand what I'm saying? He went straight from sin to Christ. He bypassed the law. God teaching in the Old Testament, the only way lepers would ever be cleansed is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Are you with me? So then when the Lord Jesus comes, one of the things that is asked of him in reference to the authenticity of his call as Messiah is, how do we know that you're the Messiah? Isn't that right? His own cousin in prison, doubting, wondering, did we get the right man? You know what Jesus said in Matthew 11? Go back and tell my cousin John these words. Tell him this. The blind receive their sight. The deaf hear. Watch this now. The lepers are cleansed. Do you hear me? Only when Jesus shows up is a leper cleansed. That's all. Only when Jesus, and I want you to hear this now, he cleansed all the lepers. Every leper that came to him, he just touched them. They got cleansed. Touched them. You know why? Because leprosy can only be cleansed by Christ. It can never be cleansed by the purification of the law. Cannot be cleansed under Moses. Cannot be cleansed under that old commandment. Cannot be cleansed by your good works. Only Christ can cleanse your leprosy. Only Christ. I'm going to tell you, this leper is happy too. This one here in chapter 13, he's a happy leper. I'll tell you why. Because lepers had to live in leper colonies outside of the camp. That's how bad sin is in God's sight. Sin separates between us and God. See, you and I love sin. We drink it like water till we become born again and we realize that it'll kill us. But that's the conflict, isn't it? But God can't look on sin. The only way God's going to ever have fellowship with you is by someone being between you and him so that he doesn't see your sin. Or he has to actually put your sin away. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And until then, we're outside the camp. The world is nothing but a leper colony. Nothing but a leper colony. And you know what the law said concerning the leper colony? That whole group of lepers, whenever anyone would come by, you'd put your hand over your mouth and say, unclean, unclean, don't come near me. I might spit on you. And I'll tell you why. Because leprosy is contagious. Is that true? Leprosy is contagious. We've said it before. I can't communicate righteousness to you. If I touch you, you just might get my sin, but you're not going to get my righteousness. See, the law says if an unclean thing touch a clean thing, that clean thing becomes unclean. And do you know you and I contaminate one another all the time? So when folks are talking about, well, you know, it's my sin, my secret sin, it's sin between just me and myself. It's not hurting nobody else. Everybody's sin hurts somebody. Do you hear me? Everybody's sin hurts somebody. You can try to keep it to yourself, but you can't because it breaks out and it contaminates others. And the thing you need to know is the spreading, the quick spreading of the sin is designed for you to deal with it. So, you know, you try to hide in your corner and you do your thing. But eventually it overtakes you. Isn't that right? And the nature of sin is we got to have more. Isn't that right? You got to have more. So you go from one degradation to the next debauchery until after a while. You know what? Sin hardens your heart so much so that you don't care after a while. Isn't that so? People can see you doing what you're doing. And now you're so hardened, so callous, because that's the nature of leprosy. It kills the nerve endings. Destroys the nerves so that you lose your sensitivity to sin. This is what we're learning in the series on the apostasy. Harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation. Sin hardens the heart. Leprosy hardens the skin. So after a while, we don't care. You know, you used to be ashamed. But then after a while, you don't care anymore. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God cares. God cares. And I'll tell you another thing about leprosy, too, as it represents sin. It'll kill you. Leprosy will kill you. That sin will send you to hell if someone doesn't arrest you and heal your leprosy. It'll send you to hell. It'll send you to hell. It won't stop. It'll attach itself to something else. It'll grow and it'll send you to hell. That's just true. Lepers died of their leprosy and they died a miserable, lonely death. A miserable, lonely death. But I want to move on to a very important point here. This particular leper was called clean, wasn't he? The one who confessed his leprosy, the one who admitted his total leprosy, the one who had leprosy from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, that man was pronounced clean. How did he get clean? I want you to see how he got clean. This is the gospel. I'm in chapter 14 of Leviticus, and I want you to see some glorious truth in chapter 14 of Leviticus. Oh, this is so glorious. We read in verse 1 and 2, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. In the day of his cleansing. Now watch the first law. Are we there? He shall be brought to the priest. I love it. This is called the law of the cleansing of the leper, who is the sinner. He shall be brought to the priest. Now, notice it's in the passive verb form. He shall be brought to the priest. You know why? Because he's afar off. He's a long way away. He's separated from God and eternity because of his sin. But he has to be brought nigh. Isn't that right? And watch this now. He can't bring himself nigh. Someone else has to bring him nigh. You ready, saints? How do we bring lepers nigh to God to cleanse them in the day of their cleansing? Prayer? Is that true? Prayer? Is that true, brother? When you can't get to him, you can pray for him. Follow me now. Remember that man that was lame? Those four brothers had to bring him to Jesus. They tore the roof off the house. They were serious about getting him to the high priest. Isn't that right? You can get a sinner to the high priest by praying for him. You better hear me. Pray for him because they're far away. And you know, sometimes they run from us when we try to go to preaching to them. They won't even get an earshot of us. But the long arm of the Lord can get them. So you pray for them. And so you bring them near to God in prayer. Did you hear me? Because you got God's ear if you know the gospel. If you're Christ, you got God's ear. So the leper can be brought to Christ. He can be brought to the only high priest. Now watch this. Now I love this. And the high priest shall go out to look for the leper. Isn't that good? Look at what it said. This is the law of leprosy. This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest. Verse 3, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp. I love it. And the priest shall go forth out of the camp. The Lord Jesus, who is our great high priest, goes forth out of the camp. He leaves the glories of heaven. He leaves the bliss of glory. He leaves his Father's paradise. He comes from that place of perfection down here to the dunghill of sinners. Is that good? To the dunghill of sinners. And he comes looking for lepers. That's what he does. Now, how does he do that? Are you ready? Through the preaching of the gospel. It's through the preaching of the gospel that the leper is brought to Christ and Christ is brought to the leper. When we preach Christ, Christ comes by his Spirit to the leper. Is that true? Ephesians chapter 2 tells us, and you who were afar off were brought nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. That is the doctrine of the blood, the message of the blood, the preaching of the blood. And Christ came to you preaching peace. How does he do that? Through the gospel. Through the gospel. Isn't that so? Isn't that good? Isn't that a loving high priest? I want you to understand now, he takes chances on sinners. He takes chances on sinners. He's the only one that can be clean, go touch the unclean, and the unclean become clean. Isn't that right? He who knew no sin became sin for us who knew no righteousness. I added that. But it's true. It's true. Isn't that right? Who knew no righteousness, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. I'm telling you what Christ does to save sinners. Have you ever experienced that? Now, I want you to know right now that this leper is about to experience something that's glorious. You know what's about to happen to this leper? Will you listen to me? He's going to have a personal message preached to him by the high priest. Watch it. He's going to have a personal message preached to him by the high priest. This leper who was separated from God, who is now brought near, to whom the high priest has come, he says, here, take a seat right here. I want to show you something. I want to show you something. I want to show you what I do for sinners in the day of their cleansing. Are you ready? Look at it with me over in verse 4. And the priest, verse 3, and the priest shall go forth of the camp, and the priest shall look and behold if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper. Verse 4. Then shall the priest command to take for him, that is to be cleansed, two birds alive and clean. Are you ready? Two birds. Now, these two birds are special birds. These two birds are choice birds. They were, in the day of the Levitical system, birds that were set apart for this specific ceremony. They were clean birds. They were birds that were particularly trained for a purpose that will execute fully what is being symbolized in this account. I want you to get this now. Two birds. Two birds. They were pigeons. They were doves. They were the same kind of dove that descended upon our Lord in his baptism. They were the same kind of dove that was in the ark with Noah. When Noah sent the dove out to see if the land had dried up, the judgment was gone, sin was put away, and God's new people could come into the new heavens and the earth, typically the world that Noah seen after the flood. Same dove. This is the dove that we see in the temple that they try to sell for sacrificial offerings. Same doves. Are you following me? These are clean doves. Mark this down. One dove is going to be killed. The other dove is going to live. Are you ready? Watch it now. This is why I say you got to hear the gospel in the scriptures, or the scriptures mean nothing to us. Here you go. Here's this leper sitting there listening to the gospel from this priest, this high priest who comes to him. And he says, command to take for him that is to be cleansed. We said it before. Salvation is God's command. It's the will of God. David said in Psalm 71, verse 3, you have commanded to save. God commands salvation. Command to take two birds alive and clean and cedar wood and cedar wood. Now, those of you who don't know your Bible have no idea what he's doing. I'll tell you exactly what he's doing. He's maintaining connection between the leper and the temple, the leper and the tabernacle. Because in the tabernacle in the wilderness, remember, it was acacia wood, shittim wood. But I'm telling you, when Solomon built the temple after the tabernacle was getting old and raggedy and David wanted to have it redone. And Solomon, you know, Solomon was wealthy, right? Solomon was your Bill Gates of the day. And it's very important to hear me now. Solomon was going to make sure that the temple glorified God. So that brother brought in tons of gold and tons of silver. That's why I said before, I really do believe Solomon was a black man. He loved all that gold. Gold everywhere. Now read it for yourself. 1 Kings chapter 6. 1 Kings 6, you know what the scripture said? Gold everywhere. Everything was laden with gold. I can see his chariot with gold. I told you that before. Gold everywhere. Gold. Solomon, gold. This is a gospel truth. Because the gold represents deity. The gold represents eternality. It represents imperishableness. In the new heavens and the new earth, the street is paved with what? Gold! When we deal with the elements, wood, hay, and stubble, which are the perishable things, we're talking about the tangible things, the things that will burn up in the judgment, the things that we love, the material things of this life, it'll be burned up. That which will last will be the silver, the gold, and the precious stone. They represent the Spirit's work. They represent the finality of the gospel. They represent the presence of God in the word. We'll see that when we get back to the tabernacle. But in the temple, that glorious temple, rather than using shittim wood or acacia wood, they used cedar wood. For two reasons. Cedar wood was very durable, very hard, like shittim wood, so that it didn't corrupt either. Remember what we learned? The wood had to be hard. You guys have ever felt hard wood? It's almost as hard as steel. This discourages termites because the teeth break when they try to chew on it. I'm kidding, but the point is the temple represents eternality. God used that, however, to teach us that when we are united to Christ, our old nature, our corrupt nature, our dying nature is done away and we live forever. We have eternal life with the one who himself was perfect in his nature. Is that true? Christ was perfect in his human nature. Do you believe that? His human nature was perfect. Now, the scripture teaches that man is likened unto what? Trees. Isn't that so? Trees. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. He meditates in it day and night. And he shall be like a tree. Isn't that right? Planted by the rivers of water. Christ is that tree. He's that true vine. He's the only man that never saw corruption. And we're identified with him. If you're in Christ, you don't have any sin. In him is no sin at all. In us is nothing but sin. That's why true believers are simultaneously righteous and sinful at the same time. I'm righteous in him. I'm sinful in myself. In him, I have eternal life. In myself, I have no hope. In Christ, I'm a victor. In myself, I'm a failure. In Christ, I rule. In myself, I'm a slave. That's the way that it is. That's the way that it is. And so the cedar wood, speaking to the leper, tells him that he has one who represents him that's already clean. I'm going to tell you something. This leper's heart is beating faster as he listens to the message preached by the high priest. See, because he has to stand there and watch this ceremony take place. First of all, he's happy because he's close to the camp, because the work was done right outside of the door of the tabernacle. He never had the privilege to come so close. Never had the privilege to come so close. Never had the privilege to hear the communication of the high priest like this. Now he's about to hear what God did to heal him. Here we go. Follow me now. Take the two doves and take the cedar wood and take the scarlet. There it is. See, we're going back to the tabernacle again. Take the scarlet. We're going back to the tabernacle. See what this leper is about to learn? Brother, you're being brought back into the community of the saints. See, because everything that Christ is, I am in him. And everything that I am, Christ is for me. And so this leper is being brought hope, isn't he? The gospel is a message of hope. It's a message of hope. This leper is being told in a moment you'll be brought into the camp through the scarlet. Now, you know, running from Genesis to Revelation is a scarlet color thread. Did you know that? Now, listen to me. Running from Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22 and 21 is a scarlet colored thread. You know what it's called? The blood of Jesus Christ. Am I telling the truth? the blood of Jesus Christ. And see, the temple requires the blood. Without the shedding of blood, what? No remission of sin. No remission of sin. And the scarlet also represents royalty. Royalty. The scarlet robe, the scarlet color, royalty. And they put on Jesus a scarlet colored robe. Remember that? A scarlet colored robe. So the sinner who comes to Christ is royal. See, this is a royal priesthood that's God setting up. So it's a scarlet. Here's the next one, hyssop. Do you see it? Hyssop. Now, you know what the hyssop is used for? Taking the blood, absorbing it like a sponge, and sprinkling it upon the people. Do you hear me? And when the gospel's preached in power, guess what the Spirit of God does? Takes the blood of Christ and sprinkles it upon sinners. Isn't that true? Sprinkles it upon sinners. That leper, his heart is just beating. He can't help it. His heart's beating because he knows what's about to take place. Now, follow this now. Follow how this works. Here it is. Take the two birds, alive and clean, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop. And the priest shall command that the one bird, one of the birds be what? Killed in an earthen vessel over running water. Are you ready? Who is that bird that will be killed? Jesus. Did you hear me? Jesus, the innocent one. Jesus, the holy one. He will be killed in an earthen vessel. See, the earthen vessel then is a metaphor of our human nature. We have this treasure in what? Earthen vessels, that the excellency of the knowledge might not be of us, but of God. The glory belongs to God. So God himself assumed an earthen vessel, didn't he? He was made in the likeness of sinful flesh, and in his flesh he condemned what? Sin. Am I making some sense to you? Some of you get this, some of you not. Get the CD, listen to it. What this leper is beholding is the sinner's substitute. What this leper is beholding is a high priest who loved him enough to leave heaven's glory, to assume his nature, and to take on his sin, die on the cross for him. That bird is going to be killed in the presence of this leper. Watch it now. Now watch how this goes. The priest commands that the bird is killed in an earthen vessel over running water. The better translation is what? Living water. Living water. You know who the living waters are in the scripture? God himself. God is the fountain of living waters. You do know that, right? The scriptures make it abundantly clear. Jeremiah said the error that Israel made in Jeremiah chapter 2 was to forsake God, the fountain of living waters. God's our fountain. Isn't that so? Isn't that what Jesus said in John chapter 7 around verse 38? And he cried out in that great day of the feast, if any man believes on me, what did he say? Out of his belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. Now those rivers of living water don't come out of our belly. They come out of his belly. You better get that now. And we read, according to John the Revelator in Revelation 22 and verse 1, and I beheld a throne. A throne. This is the sovereignty of God on his throne as king. And the Lamb of God on that throne. This is the crucified Christ. Now watch this. And from the midst of it, a river of water of life flowing from the throne. Did you get it? Flowing from the throne. What am I saying? What is John saying? That God is sovereign in the salvation of sinners represented in the water, but it only comes through the crucified Christ. Did you get that? It only comes through the crucified Christ. The Lamb is on the throne. He's a sovereign Lamb. And if you and I are going to drink the waters of life, if we're going to drink from that well of living water, we got to come to the crucified Christ. Now, I'm telling you that this leper is watching a metaphor that is teaching him the same thing that we preach and rejoice in every day. Christ and him crucified. Am I making some sense? Oh, I love this because this leper's happy. He's happy. Now watch how this goes. The bird is killed over an earthen vessel in order that the blood may be poured in that vessel. The blood may be poured in that vessel. Over running water. Now, in Jesus' ministry on this earth, that one vessel, that one living bird, he was always in the presence of the Father. The Father was always with him. The Spirit of God was given to Jesus without measure. He was anointed of God. So the waters, those living waters, they were always with Christ. Everything he did was approved of God. Everything he did was anointed of God. Everything he did by those rivers of living water. Everything he did, God saw. He said, I work and my Father works. He says, I never do anything of myself, but my Father which showed me, he's the one doing the work in me. So I'm trying to help you to see that even the life of Christ, his physical existence, his suffering, his atonement on the tree, all of it was in the presence of the Father. It was all the Father's will. It was all the Father's will. God approved of everything Jesus did, especially his death on Calvary. Now watch this now. The priest shall command that he be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. Verse 6, as for the living bird, oh, the leper is happy. You know what he's called? A living bird. Here, this man, dead in trespasses and sin, under the curse of the law, under the bondage of sin. Here he is just reeked with leprosy. It's in the sight of God called clean and living. You know why? Because Christ, his substitute, traded places with him. Did you get that? Because Christ is substitute, traded. I know you see it. Some of y'all see it. Some of you don't. But listen to it now. This is so good. As for the living bird, listen to what it says. As for the living bird, he shall take it and the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop. Watch this now. And dip them in the blood. You missed it. Dip them in the blood. In a few moments, you're going to see 3, 6, 8, 9 people dipped in the blood. Dip in the blood. Do you see that? Isn't it good? Bring a brother to tears. Isn't he so good? Dipped in the blood. That's why I wanted them here. Because I'm hoping the high priest is speaking to them now. See, baptism is not just a perfunctory ceremony. Baptism is a confession of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Baptism teaches us who Christ is. Baptism teaches us why he did what he did. Baptism teaches us how a sinner can be brought into union with the Savior. That's what baptism teaches us. That's why baptism is for people who are conscious enough to know what they're doing. It's a confession. Not just for those that we love you, but I want you to understand children are not to be baptized. Not until they understand the gospel and they can make that confession of faith. See, because baptism is not only a confession, it is the answer of a good conscience before God. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21 says, baptism, the life figure whereunto, which also now doth save us, is the answer of a good conscience, watch this now, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The gospel is preached, and the Spirit of God teaches the sinner everything that Christ did for them. Justification, sanctification, and glory, propitiation, and union. Christ the Lamb, Christ the servant, Christ the high priest, Christ the prophet, priest and king. Christ being everything for them. And when he rose again on the third day, they know that their sins were forever put away by the sacrifice of Christ. You know what they say? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I know by virtue of the death of Christ and his resurrection that my sins are gone. My sins are gone. And I'm ready to confess that to the church and to the world. Christ is my Savior. That's what they're doing. Listen to me. That's why we don't baptize babies. They can go to heaven without baptism. But when they get old enough to understand the gospel, they must, like you and I, profess Christ as Savior to the world. And let the world know Christ is my King. He's my owner. He's the one who died for me. I live through him. Because he lives, I live also. You understand what I'm saying? I hope you do. Listen to this. The priest says, now dip it and the bird, the living bird, in the blood of the bird that was killed over running water. See, there it is. He was killed in the sight of God. He was killed as the anointed one. He was killed according to the predetermined counsel and foreknowledge of God. He was killed according to the scriptures. He was killed according to the will of his Father. He was put to death on the behalf of a people chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Christ died according to the scriptures. Am I making some sense? Now watch this now. And he, I love this part, and he, the priest, shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times. You know what you do? You take that hyssop, sprinkle it on him. That leper is standing there, right? You know he's happy. The blood has been sprinkled on. Happy, happy. Now this is what happens in the spirit when the gospel's preached. A sinner right now might be experiencing what we call the sprinkling of blood. Peter speaks about this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. The sprinkling of blood, which the Spirit of God does, bringing you to a knowledge of the obedience of Jesus Christ. That's the sprinkling of blood by which we are sanctified. This is what the Hebrew writer said when he says, draw nigh unto God with full assurance of faith, having your hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and your bodies washed in pure water. This is what he said in Hebrews 9 when he says the blood of bulls and goats can never take away sin. But Christ, who offered himself up without spot to God, hath purged our conscience from dead works, that we might serve the true and the living God. I'm hoping the Spirit of God is sprinkling some of you right now. Purged our conscience. You know what that means, man? That means I'm free from my sin. I'm free from the condemnation of my sin. I'm free from the guilt of my sin through the power of the gospel. Now, I'm still a sinner, but I'm free from my sin because I see who Christ is. I see what he did. You understand? I want to show you one more thing. One more thing. This leper's happy. I was listening to the song we were singing. There is a fountain filled with blood. And I was taking notice of the second stanza. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. I said to myself, but he better be a dying thief. Because some of you living thieves do not rejoice in the gospel. The only way you're going to rejoice in the gospel is if he kills you and raises you again in Jesus Christ. Do you hear me? See, only sinners who see themselves under the wrath of God in need of a Savior can rejoice in Christ Jesus. The rest of you will keep lying on God and go to hell. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. That's the thief that was on the right side of Jesus. When that centurion pierced his side, straightway came out blood, justification, water, sanctification, the gospel. That thief was happy. He saw that fountain that Zechariah said shall be opened up in that day for cleansing and for uncleanness. That fountain is Christ. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stain. What you waiting for? Unless you're a living thief. Now listen to this. One more thing. Are you ready? He'll sprinkle him seven times and then he will pronounce him what? Clean. And he shall let the living bird loose into the open field. Isn't that good? Now I just said the living bird represents that leper. Isn't that so? Yeah. There are two things I want you to see here. That leper is standing there watching that living bird set free. David said in Psalm 124 around verse 4 or 5, my soul is escaped from the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken and I am escaped. He sees himself liberated in Christ. He sees himself resurrected with Christ. He sees himself free from his sin. You know what else he sees gone? His sin is gone. His sin is gone. See, under that system, there was always this two-principle system. In the Levitical code, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, when the high priest went into the Holy of Holies all by himself, he had two goats. One of them was the Lord's goat. That goat was killed. The other goat was what we call the goat be gone, the scapegoat, the get out of here goat, the run down the road goat. And when you run down the road, don't come back. Why? Because everybody had their sins laid on him representatively through the high priest. So my sins are put on that scapegoat, and that scapegoat is ran into the wilderness, never to come back again. And he's cast my sins behind his back into the depths of the sea of forgetfulness. As far as the east is from the west, so hath the Lord removed my transgressions from me. Isn't that good? That's good. See, that's the gospel. Listen to me now. That boy watched that bird fly off. And see, this is what I was saying earlier. The priest prepared special holy birds. They were clean birds. And these birds were taught. They were taught that when they were to be released, never to come back. Never to come back. Now, I want you to know, now you feed anything and you let it go, it's coming back. Isn't that true? Isn't it good? But they taught the bird to take off in one direction and never come back. That leper crying, just watching that bird fly off. And then what the priest did is what your pastor do. The priest says, I got a couple more things I want to say. And I intentionally did not go to that, but I'm going to share it with you here. He took the blood of a ram and a bullock, and he went to the leper, and he had a bottle of oil, and he took the blood, and he dipped it on the right ear of the leper. That was a blood-dipped ear. That leper can hear the gospel now. And he took the blood. Look at it. It's in the chapter. And he dipped it on the right of his thumb, right hand of his thumb. See, the thumb signifies humanity. Only human beings can exercise hands like this. And his hands are clean now. Who have clean hands and a pure heart? You understand? His hands are clean now. He can fellowship with God. And then he dipped his right toe. You know what that means? He can go now. He can walk with the Lord. See, the right hand represents fellowship with God. He's been purged. He's been washed in the blood. He's been brought back into the community by the blood of Christ. Am I making some sense? Yeah. Then he took the oil and poured it in the palm of his left hand. And he took the oil and he put his finger in there, the high priest. He told the leper, hold the oil in his hand. He took the oil and he sprinkled 7 times the oil toward the tabernacle because the oil represents the anointing. The oil represents the Holy Ghost. The oil represents the Spirit of God. Sisters over there just coming out now. That's the goodness of. And then he took that bottle of oil. Are you ready? And he started at the top of that boy's head. And the oil ran all the way down that boy. Do you know how happy that man was? Do you know how happy he was? Clean by the blood of the Lamb. Sealed by the Spirit of God. Anointed by the grace of the gospel. Accepted in the beloved, set free from his sins,